telling, and the changing isn't free. You read it in the tea leaves, and the tracks are on TV. Beware the Savage Show of 1984. They'll split your pretty cranium and fill it full of air and tell you that you're 80, but rather you're...
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Thursday, April 1st, 2021. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone, RBN is listener-supported, folks. Please donate whatever is manageable. No donation is too small. Free speech simply cannot stay alive without being funded by we the people. And currently, with every $100 donation, you get your choice of a high-quality RBN t-shirt. Just specify the size of your choice. Or alternately, at the moment, we just got in some excellent RBN coffee mugs as an alternative to the shirt. So be sure to mention, if you would like, either of those excellent free gifts help advertise free speech. And here at RBN, the best place to come for the independent media, please help ensure RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. And of course, you can use PayPal at the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. You can call in to donate at 800-724-2719 extension 3. Or you can mail in your donation, cash, check, money order, to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks, whatever you could spare. We have a chat room for those who'd like to contribute at beyondton.chatango.com as well. And this being the 1st of April, of course it is April Fool's Day as well. But certainly no fool. I do have my Thursday co-host, Dutch citizen currently residing in France, Mr. Wilhelm Velderhof. Hello, Wilhelm.
Hey, hello, Richard. Hello, good evening from the western part of planet Insanity. I'm considered to be a fool, actually, on the 1st of April by many people, like all of us, who don't buy in this whole COVID pandemic scam. But just a question, Richard. The merchandise, because more people are listening to the RBN network from Europe. If they order merchandise like t-shirts or mugs, is that also being sent to Europe or worldwide?
Well, I mean, the t-shirts and the mugs, they're not so much for sale, but they're giving them free with the donations, you know, $100 donation for the t-shirt. Now that we got the mugs in, yeah, there's an option of the mugs as well. I mean, I'd have to double check. I mean, but I wasn't informed that there were exceptions for overseas or anything like that. And I mean, from what I heard, actually, at the moment, Mike, one of the board ops, had mentioned that they're currently actually even offering a special, where at the moment, if you donate $115, $115, you can actually at the moment receive both free gifts for $100 and $115 donation, the mug and the t-shirt. But yeah, I wasn't aware of any restrictions for donors who are overseas. So I, you know, I can only assume that that would be honored as well.
Yeah, well, I'm just asking it because, of course, ordering stuff from the United States, whatever it is, or from the UK now is just... thanks to globalism, when everything is cheaper, it's just ridiculously expensive. Customs, it's not even being delivered. So that's why I was asking. But so it goes hand in hand with the donation. But it's good to know because more people are checking in with the RBN network from Europe. I know that from people who are share or talking about it.
Very, very glad to hear that. That's some great news. I don't know if there's anything you wanted to bring up. I mean, I was looking over some news articles as well, but I don't know. Is there anything that's at the top of your mind you'd like to address today?
Yeah, well, there is a lot going on, of course. It's too much to cover in just an hour show. In Holland, the Dutch politics is just insane, going just ballistic now with the government is dealing with all kinds of crises, but that's another story. France has just announced a new confinement, new lockdown, starting next Saturday for a month, where all the non-essential stores have to close, and so there's going to be more lockdowns, strict lockdowns. You're not allowed to leave your house beyond 10 kilometers without documentation, and well, it's going to be a very strict lockdown because it's getting out of hand, the new variant or whatever they pull up. So yeah, I was amazed when I came back to France actually to see that way more people were wearing masks over their noses than when I left a month before. That was a bit worrying to see, although now I'm here for a few days, and today there was a market in the village. They just continue. They, in this department, the elderly people are quite resistant. That's a good thing. But the worrying thing for me is especially this younger generation who are completely keen of... They don't have any rebellious mindset, and they just buy into this technologic stuff and believe everything. And they are actually the ones policing the people who don't wear a mask or are not going to take the vaccine. So you see this new generation, this virtual, smart, feminized, whatever, humanoid, robotic generation with this smart technology is just creating their own dystopian 1984 reality by just buying into it. It's mostly those younger people who are policing the other ones here in France. The elderly are more resistant, but of course they are being euthanasized. What is it? The word with this protocols, vaccines, and everything. Like I said to my girlfriend, she's in Brazil. She's reporting there from there, and that's very interesting because we are now bombarded here with propaganda from Brazil with mass graves. Same mechanisms like with the Heart Island in New York, where you saw these mass graves, which were actually just already existing for 150 years, graves for homeless and people without any relatives. But in Brazil, now we are now being overwhelmed with these mass graves in Brazil. And I speak with her daily almost. She already lost her own mother with this protocol. And the details are actually even more horrific than I already knew, because my French is not perfect. I'm writing an article about this, what is happening there and her experience. But she now already knows about four people who died because of the protocol there. So a lot of people are dying in Brazil. That's nothing new. She spoke also with people who are in this in the medical area, a guy who is responsible for all the hospitals in Brazil in a certain way. He was a representative. He says many people are dying, like always, in Brazil, but not because of COVID. So he said that, and she sees that. So a lot of people are dying always in Brazil. There's a lot of poverty, and she comes from Sao Paulo, and like her mother, had breathing problems there. But the pollution in Sao Paulo, air pollution, is just off the scale. There's 22 million people there, but they're all being just forced, like her mother, into this protocol by zombified family and friends, and are just subjected to this sort of synthetic euthanasia project. So that's what's on my mind, actually.
Wow. Well, yeah, it sounds like conditions are in some places worse. There, certainly this new lockdown in France sounds pretty dreadful, and I don't know if there's been quite a bit of you mentioned the younger generation more compliant. I don't know how many parallels to all these factors there have always been in Europe and America. But, well, here, of course, there's a teenage rebellious natural tendency for someone to experiment with thoughts and ways of looking at life outside of their parents' view, you know. And then there's everyone goes through that phase, and I can only imagine that wasn't really much different other parts of the world, including Europe. But the educational system has certainly been taking advantage of that in the U.S. in recent decades. I've noticed getting the children more and more to be against their parents in favor of the new progressive, generally far left, you know, leftist sort of policies. And of course, now with the transgender and the attitudes toward multiculturalism, immigration, anti-nationalism, that has only been accelerating. So I can only assume the one drawback of making everyone have at-home learning is that they can't indoctrinate the students against the parents as much as they so you'd think, yeah, that there is a rush to some degree with these liberal politicians, these very progressive sort of think tanks and education administrators to get them back in person. And of course, there's more scrutinizing that the parents do of the children's homework, you know, which is very much a propaganda, which is often going against nature and very much in favor of this totalitarian lack of privacy sort of future that they'd like to roll out. So I don't know. I would have to suspect the education system has some similar techniques they use over in Europe to further play upon that divide of the natural childhood rebellion toward parents to get them more compliant to the system as the solution, you know, to the way the parents were, you know, much like well, I'm sure there's also like a very strong anti-nationalist spirit that's being instilled in the children of Europe.
Yeah, well, that's a great point, Richard, the education system, because that's one of the most worrying aspects of this whole programming and this whole social engineering effort for the last, of course, it's already maybe 80 years, this outcome-based education model, which was implemented already back in the 60s, 70s, morphed into a full-blown Marxist indoctrination system. To give you an example, in Holland, besides the whole LGBTQ nonsense these children getting polluted with, or how do you call it, confronted with things that are not natural, not normal, and harmful, actually, they get indoctrinated with this is all normal, and they get more confused. In Holland, for instance, the young children at 7, 8, they get now, because there's voting, there's elections in Holland, and then the children at school, and then there's in Holland, you have this youth journal, youth news. So for children, there's this, you have the news, the 8 o'clock news, but you have also the youth news for children that is now, that's already there, and they have to mandatory watch that at school now. And if you see that, it's just over the top multicultural promotion, and it's just ridiculous what they have to look at. But with the elections, so these children getting in the idea that voting is normal, so they are voting at school, these children at 7, 8, they're all going to vote to just because like the adults do, and then they have to vote on a party, and then they count the votes afterwards, and then they're going to discuss who was the winner and why and these things. But the teacher doesn't say, listen, we're going to now see how voting works. He doesn't say 30 to 40% of the people, they do not vote. There's also a group who don't vote. He doesn't address that at all, the teachers. They say everybody votes. And then they're going to they indoctrinate these children with the state propaganda over the top. And interesting, not surprising, is that, of course, the Green Party won on all the schools because they're all climate indoctrinated. That's another very worrying thing. These children are all programmed with the idea that we're bad, especially when you're white. We are the threat of nature and the planet needs to be saved. And the big threat is human beings, especially white. And, it's just over the top. And then wearing a mask and all the testing every week. I mean, the school system, which is not new, before already, like a decade ago, it was already torture or abuse, mentally emotional abuse. Now it's physical with all LGBTQ stuff. But the school system is really one of the biggest effective tools, I think, besides the technology, of course, with the whole smart technology and the phones and all that online stuff, the selfie culture. But the education system is openly morphed into a mandatory outcome-based Skinnerian Pavlovian indoctrination center. So I totally agree with you, and it's the root core problem. I'm only happy when people are not allowed to bring their children to school when they're tested positive or whatever reason, because then you you avoid this exposure to this toxic crap what these children are being polluted with, and they are being morphed into this narcissistic, very insecure, reality disconnected humanoids because of this programming, especially through the education system. And there's many people who spoke about it, like Charlotte Isabit, John Taylor Gatto, School World Order by John Kisik is a great book about Skull and Bones, how they morphed in this education system into this conveyor belt for these state agents.
School World Order. I like that one. I like that title. The School World Order.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great book. It's a great book. And he connects also, Bill Gates and Elon Musk with the whole educational system, how they morph this into the cradle to grave conveyor belt or blockchain society with the technotronic influences. I listened to Alison McDowell from Philadelphia, a great activist woman who spoke about the education system, especially regarding blockchain technology, because that's another thing, but that's another subject. This enthusiasm about Bitcoin and crypto coins is serving something which is way bigger, I think. This blockchain technology is a root part of the new digital society, and they're morphing us into this also partly by make us enthusiastic for crypto coins and all this virtual digital blockchain technologies. But C addresses especially the education system, which is now a token-based blockchain education system already, and she is quite revealing how she speaks about it. It's worth checking her out, Alison McDowell.
Wow, that does sound very interesting. I'm going to have to check that out, and to the listeners as well. Yeah, thank you for that. It's all very much the sort of push I've been hearing, this technocratic, technotronic sort of great reset. You know, they have the perfect catalyst now. I can only wonder how much in the next year all of the educational materials for every grade level, you know, are going to be incorporating COVID propaganda and even this push toward this great reset. You know, I mean, all of the factors of linking us up, the internet of bodies. But it looks like we have that first break already coming in, so we'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an engine cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Back, folks. Beyond the Official Narrative, Republic Broadcasting, here with my Thursday co-host, Wilhelm Felderhoff. And yeah, Wilhelm, I've heard that term described, how once they can digitally, with nanotechnology or implants, have every human connected to the Internet of Things, oh, that would just be incorporated another level of it. One component of it, they've used the term Internet of Bodies, I think I heard, but perhaps Internet of Beings would be more appropriate. I like the sound of that more. But of course, then for the parasitic class, the predator class, that would remind them too much that those they want to manipulate have souls, and they might not like being reminded of that, right?
Yeah. Well, I think the predatory class is growing also with this whole operation significantly in the visible realm. I see a lot of people acting like predators nowadays who seem like human, but who knows what's driving them. But I think with this whole vaccine thing, there was like 2 or 3 months ago, there was in the UK, there was an sort of hearing, I think it was a corporate hearing, sort of combined with in the political sense, that there was an issue with this vaccine hesitancy, but with a lot of people, of course. It's also published by the World Economic Forum how they have to deal with this as a whole menu section with this COVID-19 action plan on the World Economic Forum, how they will deal with vaccine hesitancy over time. And that's what's now. And they said, well, we're gonna implement a massive pro-vaccine campaign, like over-the-top vaccine campaign. And that's really happening now. That was 2 months ago, and that's happening now, although a lot of people don't see it. But for those who see it there, it's massively. And part of it is that people who have been vaccinated, I spoke with quite some people who have been vaccinated in the UK especially, that's even more, they have been more vaccinated than any other country almost, except Israel or Gibraltar. But they all say, we're going to be vaccinated because I want to go on holiday again. That's their argument. So they will attack people who don't have been vaccinated when things appear not to go back to normal and not going to change, and the society is going to still be subject to lockdowns because of the people who don't vaccinate, of course. And you see that already arising. So, zombie apocalypse is here as we speak.
Yeah, so we're having a culture who will be spying on their neighbors, trying to report on their neighbors for not complying to the vaccine, just like we've had with the lockdowns. And yeah, you're right, there'll be more pressure from just the local level, perhaps, put on individuals who don't want to get the vaccine, if it means restrictions to some extent were to remain in place for everyone. So far, what we're seeing, though, I mean, it's like the corporations and larger venues and chains of big box stores, like you say, cruise ships, this sort of thing. Ticketmaster has already been grandstanding that they're all on board, you know, for whatever comes down the road with these draconian mandates. And
well, you know, Richard, what you just mentioned there, it's clear that they're aiming for a whole generation of people, a whole massive amount of people, by saying you will get back to partying, holidays, all that stuff, football things, festivals, music festivals, all entertainment, nothing relevant. But the masses of people, especially this new generation, their argument is to go back to that, or they want to go to a bar, to party, all that kind of complete irrelevant activities, which are nice, it's not that it's bad, but that is for the people the only reason to go along, because that is for the main part their lives and their thing of entertainment, to just work the whole week for, and then they go to a party or things like that. And that is their sense of freedom. They associate that with freedom, that they can go back partying and do things which are completely irrelevant, but very entertaining. So these people, well, if that's in danger by these people who don't vaccinate, and that's where it's going, we will see more psychosis and really freaky things, I think.
A very good point. And we have a couple callers on the line. I noticed we'll get to the calls right after we take this break. So stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we're back, folks. Beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting, here with my Thursday co-host, Wilhelm Felderhoff. And Wilhelm, I see we have a couple of callers on the line. Let's go to the phones. First, we have Daniel in British Columbia. Hello, Daniel.
Oh, hi, Richard. I'm a big fan of your show. I know it's a fairly new show. I'm a regular listener to RBN. And I always look forward to Wilhelm on Thursdays because I think he's a great researcher. I wish I would. My subject was COVID today, but I heard Wilhelm mention some false flag attacks that occurred in Europe a few years back. And I used to do a lot of YouTube videos and do some sort of amateur research, you know, kind of citizen journalist stuff. I used to do Sandy Hook videos, Boston bombing videos, and helped create a documentary called We Need to Talk About Sandy Hook. But looking at the Charlie Hebdo attack, and it's interesting because I think today, I mean, being April Fool's Day, I think this entire planet is, every day is April Fool's. And I think there's a direct relation to all these false flags that they pulled off, knowing how easily duped the planet is, except for a few of us. And so I wanted to mention to Wilhelm, they just happened to be on the roof of the Charlie Hebdo offices in Paris, an Israeli journalist. He just happened to be there and got some footage of one of the attackers shooting someone on the street. Not very many people know about that. Thought I'd mention it. And another thing that I noticed about the Charlie Hebdo attack was there's a lot of these similar vans, and they had a logo, like some of them were red vans. And I started doing some sleuthing, and it turns out they were a rental company, in a rental car company in Paris. And a lot of the cars in between these vans were very similar small cars like Peugeot or Citroën, something like that. And I thought it very odd that there wasn't any foot traffic or there wasn't any traffic, period, at the time of this attack. So these guys walking around with AK-47s were able to just, you know, shoot up this office and then run around and shoot people on the street. But there wasn't any witnesses around. So I thought, you know, this is the classic control the situation, control the stage, and they're able to pull off these kind of things. And, you know, Paris is one of the most densely populated cities on the planet. So to not see one errant automobile just driving by and witnessing this just seemed really odd to me. And another point I wanted to make was the Bataclan attack, the Bataclan theater. It just happened to be owned by a Jewish family for 40 years, up until about 2 months prior to the Bataclan terror attack, that staged attack. So I thought I'd just pass that along. I don't know if Wilhelm is aware of this kind of thing or if he recalls any of the other kind of details of Charlie Hebdo or Bataclan. And just on another quick note, in Vancouver, Canada, yesterday, they reported it yesterday, there was three Masonic lodges that were attacked by arson in the same day. And they just happened to catch the perpetrator by an off-duty police officer, just happened to catch the guy. It just seems kind of funny, and you know that magic Masonic number of three. I just couldn't help but think we're just being played. I don't know if it was an insurance scam or just some way to help the poor Mason's image because of all these conspiracy theorists. I really don't know what to make of that one, but anyways, I'll just I'll take my answer off the air and just once again, big fan of you guys and Wilhelm for sure. You guys are making more of an impact than you'll ever realize. And thanks for your show. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, thank you for your call. Wilhelm, would you like to respond to each of those categories?
Yeah, well, he brought up a lot of interesting points. First of all, thank you for creating this documentary about Sandy Hook. We need to talk about Sandy Hook. That's great work. The Bataclan and this Charlie Hebdo, is, of course, we can talk a lot about it. It's too much to talk all about it. But especially the Charlie Hebdo event was clearly a false flag staged event. I've looked deeply into it. But also, if you don't have to look very deeply into it, but if you see the official narrative also in this case, it's completely ridiculous that this could happen during that day. The escape routes, for instance, of these so-called terrorists was out of Charlie Hebdo. It ended in a very big boulevard, which is very dense traffic always, but was closed for traffic because they departed in opposite even in the traffic flow of that boulevard, which is just completely impossible in Paris unless it's completely blocked for any reason. So I've looked into that, the Bataclan, or especially the Charlie Hebdo, the official narrative doesn't make any sense, really. So, and yeah, with the Bataclan, there's even more to talk about. But it was a huge operation, of course. So it was an overlap of several drills of multiple terrorist attacks in Paris and some real events for sure that happened with the Bataclan, especially. I'm not sure about you, Charlie Hebdo. I think it might be very possible that that was a complete staged event with no deaths. There are too much inconsistencies in that official narrative, and there is no any footage or of victims in that case, other than that the chief police officer committed suicide at the same evening when he did all the investigation work about the case. But so yeah, it's a staged reality, and very much Israel is involved. I agree, the Bataclan, there's an insurance aspect, like always in these false flags, that the business was sold within Zionist operatives like Rahm Emanuel. He was involved, or his brother was involved. Trump also had meetings with people who were also involved in this. It's a very complicated. Well, not, yeah, it goes quite deep with the Bataclan, but it's clearly a false flag operation, both which are used to advance this agenda, this war on terror agenda, and the division and the Muslim, the Islamist jihadi threat, which suddenly disappeared when the COVID was introduced. But yeah, I agree with that. But there's much to talk about, but I think it goes beyond just 1 hour talk to talk about the different events, because it's just too much.
Okay. Yes, it's a concise. Yeah, I see your point. I mean, with each of those events, so Bataclan, and then of course Charlie Hebdo and Sandy Hook. I mean, that could be easily 2 hours on its own.
I mean, you did amazing work. You did many interviews, also with Jim Fetcher, who did amazing work up to court level, even exposing this clear fraud. But we see the same dynamics with Sandy Hook. That is an obvious psyop, just a psyop, just a drill. It was just not more than that. But with the COVID, it's the same. That is just massive fraud, which is self-evidently just a facade by itself. But many people, like with Sandy Hook, that's amazing what people did for research, and you were part of it as well, Richard, by exposing it, by giving people like Jim Fetcher, which I really admire for his work, and it's just continuously ongoing with it into detail, and that this was just a ridiculous fraud, which but the dynamics are the same in society, that despite that evidence and despite this blatant fraud, people decide, really, they choose not to believe that. And we see that today, and I think that is the dynamic which is driving us further into this abyss of tyranny, because people choose not to look at that brilliant research, and just also liberating research, but they choose to hold on to these belief systems and their worldview, which is clearly a fraud.
You're absolutely right. Yes, and they and therefore they refuse to even look at the information that is available. They'll just, you know, block it out. If it happens to come up, they'll change the subject or change the program they're watching. Look, we even call television programs programs, but do you really want to program yourself with someone whose intent you cannot fully be able to discern? We have another caller, Charles in Florida. Always good to hear from you, Charles. How are you doing today?
Hey, guys, Richard. I wonder about the term blockchain. I remember from supposedly in calculus, they use the blockchain as a method of simplifying or clarifying a problem in calculus, and clarifying it, as I understand. I haven't looked it up. I guess I'm just too lazy to. maybe look in the Wikipedia or something. You know, the original term, I don't know what a blockchain is, though. But it's supposedly a... This is probably, you know, it goes with the ideas of the technocrat or technotronic society, I guess, where everything is reduced down to numerical analysis, you know, and anything that should be can be quantified or proven experimentally, everything else should be consigned to the flames unless it can be quantified or proved experimentally.
Yes. I mean, as far as the original origin, I couldn't speak to that. How?
I don't know.
From what I understand, the Bitcoin has some unique attributes. It is very very detailed on the date, time, origin, nature of each transaction, and is almost like double or triple redundancy in the amount of authorization with the public and private password keys to commence any transaction, which everyone then has. I mean, it in a certain sense is supposed to be seen as peer-to-peer, you know, rather than a centralized way of being able to manipulate those records so that everyone knows all of the transactions, everything that's been split in half or not, the true value currently of everything. But I mean, I've had the impression that blockchain is in a certain sense referring to that continuous chain of data sets, which records everything that has occurred up until now. But if you're talking about more of the philosophy of why they're using a word like blockchain, I mean, that's kind of more esoteric. I don't know if Willem, you'd like to comment at all on what Charles was bringing up.
Yeah, well, I think it's also made for that we don't bother to look in it, same as the financial system, the stock exchange, that it's too boring, it's too much, it's difficult. That keeps us from looking really into it. But what we now see, this sort of hyped Bitcoin community people, also in the alternative media, like really, I mean, people are really enthusiastic about it, but let's be honest, 99.9% of the world population, they don't have anything to do with Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies. They're surviving in a certain way. They don't have the means or to look into it. And it's also helps us to be morphed into this digital reality, because it's going to be not only blockchain technology for cryptocurrencies. But it's also our health data is being related to it. Our behavior, all information is going to be blockchain driven with a sort of token-based value system where people can gain tokens, and it's all going to be part of the blockchain, the whole thing, the whole transhumanist and this whole digitalization into this virtual reality surveillance state, where everybody is locked into this Internet of Things, where everybody is connected, is based on blockchain technology in a certain way. And the idea that we can create our own reality in it, I think it serves also as distraction. We need to disconnect from that, all that tech, no logic, that's in the word as well, and just build communities and start building vegetable gardens and, you know, like these kinds of fragmented, real on-the-ground realities instead of any digital reality, whether it's Bitcoin, especially connected to blockchain. I don't know much about it, but if I hear people who know a lot about it, we are being morphed into this, and Bitcoin serves also to make people very enthusiastic about a digital currency, however you want to look at it, whether it's for moral or ethic motivations, that this is going to be helping us to create a different society. No, I don't think so. I think it's, we need to be very alert on that.
I wonder if the idea of these Bitcoin or these other currencies, you know, or they want to have every human being become a, you know, have a financial value, you know, once this vaccination, the people become, you know, where they can contact the cloud, you know, the nanobots, you know, and inject it into the system, change human beings into, you know,
trackable
value.
Trackable commodity of value. That's why I said bodies.
Commoditized, yeah.
That's why I said bodies is more appropriate for these of the predator class to use rather than beings, because they just want to think of us as a commodity rather than something that has its own, you know, its own freedom, you know, its own a sense of consciousness, even for that matter. But
reify in the modern philosophies, you know, they talk about reification, turning things into commodities, human beings, commodity. Don't let them reify the Dasein, you know, the Dasein is being there, you know, was existential philosophy or phenomenology. Dasein, you know, the real world is being reified, that saying that don't let them turn it into a commodity, nature being turned into, don't let them reify the Dasein. Mm-hmm. You know, the Heidegger's, you know, Das, be there, Das in German, Dasein. Yeah.
Okay, well, it is interesting at times to break things down and see how words are used by those who'd like to program us and condition us. Well, thank you for your call.
Yeah, the engineers of society. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, have a good day. Looks like we just blasted through the break there. So, it looks like thank you, Julie, allowed us to just skip the break. Hear from Charles, and let's hear your thoughts, you know, to put the minutes we have left. I don't know if you'd like to respond to much more of what Charles was adding there, or your final thoughts as well, please.
Well, I mean, this whole technology, this crypto coin, this blockchain technology, all the digital smart stuff, that's not who we are. We are human beings. That's our tool. Our tool is our heart. It's our humanity, our sense of humanity. And it's clearly these controllers are disconnected from this ability to be human and to have empathy and to create without technology. I mean, we can create, of course, it's not that all technology is bad. We know that. But this digitalization, smart technology, smartphones, we saw a clear deterioration of human well-being, especially this new generation who are completely, in generalized speaking, disconnected from reality as a result of the implementation of this technology. So I think we should be very careful not to be drawn into it by our enthusiasm for another coin or a financial crypto thing which can solve the thing. Oh, I don't think that's our quality to fight the battle in that area, because we are dealing with pharisaic sorcerers who use the financial system as a mean of control for thousands of years. So this whole morphing into this digital crypto reality is just a part of their tools or their means, you know. I think we should disconnect from that more and more, and just really confront physically people, and to connect physically with people, and to start making plans strategically, militantly, on the ground, with food especially, that's going to be a problem, of course, when this agenda is continuing ongoing, because it's a sort of hypnosis as well, and you get sort of greedy. I've seen it, because I was in this Bitcoin sort of a bit, but I get this same when I go in a casino. I have a sort of sense in my physical realm of unpleasantness, you know, sort of greed thing. I don't know what it is, and that's for me a red flag to not go there. And I think that shouldn't be the focus. The focus should be on connecting, because it's not for nothing that we are disconnected now with this social distancing and a mask, so that we cannot connect on a physical human level where our quality lies. I think we should really focus there as much as possible, but that takes also effort. I mean, to go to your neighbor, to go to people where you maybe have difficulties with or some issues, but we have a common interest here for sure, which I already see again when I come here. There's a lot of division, but we realize that we have a common interest here, and we should make use of our humanity. We don't need all this technology, and it's a distraction, and it's also a manipulation to a greater part, of course. Not all bad. Again, technology is great if it works in line, in coherence with our abilities. So I think that's important to understand, and not to focus too much on what they want or the agendas or the that's clear, because it serves as a distraction and also demotivation to not disconnect and to connect in real time with people.
Mm-hmm. Well, very well said. You know, a lot of great points you make there. People definitely shouldn't be concerned too much as long as they want to resist this and will not succumb to what you just described there. I mean, there's enough time now. They want to roll this out gradually. The digital cashless society linked to a COVID freedom passport and all the rest of it, social credit score. If we start creating a parallel system now, locally, you know, by the time it's fully rolled out and things go completely cashless, we'll already have a parallel society in each local community. So this can be overcome, because, since we just have to make sure we make it a reality. So thank you so much, Willem. It's a lot of inspiring ways of perceiving our reality that you always bring in. I look forward to your show with us next Thursday, and have a great weekend, sir.
Okay, Rich. Same to you. And you know, we're exactly on track. That's the great thing. It's happening. The transformation is happening, but the ego doesn't like it in a certain way. We never should forget, but that's not who we really are. So I think we need to go to the root level, and we have to buckle up and go through it, and that's the only way. We cannot avoid it anymore. So I think we're exactly on track.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And thank you to the listeners. Please stick around for Dr. Patrick Slattery. Please support RBN, and we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.